The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So we came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flock and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
Look, I just want to say how wonderful it is to be with you. And I also want to thank Ruth for all that fantastic organizing that went on last night. It was, you know, I was telling Glenn that I get to speak at a lot of congregations up and down the East Coast. And wherever I go, you know, it's always a little different. And to come in last night to the dance and to go downstairs and to see all the people, the sense of community in one space, and know that this was your community and your outreach in that one moment. And I just thought that was just astounding. In fact, you know, it all came back to me today when I came in this morning and I immediately smelt that hay bale. But there's a very serious side to the hay bale, because one of our partnerships in Frontier Services, the fact is that because we're a mission and we're here in Australia, we can be flexible and we can do things and we can look to the needs. We're 103 years old, our mission. So you can obviously see that our priorities over the years have changed. There's one thing, though, that's never changed. And so we have a partnership with Buy a Bale, a fundraiser here. We're their charity partner. So when I smell that bale of hay as I come in, I think, that reminds me of Queensland. That reminds me of Western Queensland, because in the last year to 18 months, we put 100,000 bales of that out there to all those places that have been in that terrible drought. And there's a thing about the drought, you know, I think we all pretty well recognize that the drought is always going to be with us. And, you know, the story that we heard today is that the reality of water in our country, the driest continent on earth, it's very key to survival. You can't have life without water. And we heard today, again, the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus makes the overtures to her. Now, it's a really fascinating idea, because this is like the bookend to the other story of the Good Samaritan, where Christ talks to a man who's regarded as very learned. He's tempting Christ. He's saying, you know, who's my neighbor? And he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of that, Christ says to the man, "Now, who was the better neighbor?" And the man can't say Samaritan. He says, "The one who showed compassion." And that's how strict the separation rules were, because the Samaritans and the Jews went different ways. The Jews knew the Samaritans, but the Samaritans had married into the pagans, and so there was no way they could be regarded as clean. And so you understand how extraordinary it is when Jesus is sitting there at the well and he's recognized by this woman as being the other. the other person. And he says, will you give me a drink? And she's shocked, really. And she actually says to him, you don't have a cup. In other words, my cup isn't good enough for you. You must have your own. And he says, you know what? If you knew who you were talking to, you would have the everlasting water. And that's the promise that we take into the literal desert in Australia today. We go there through our ministers to take the presence of Christ to people who need it, who are dry and thirsty inside. They don't always know that, because the wonderful thing about Australia is this ministry has become part of us. It echoes our people. Now, we know the Australians. We know that they're sceptical people. We know that they're industrious people, that they're self-sufficient people, that they don't always talk about their emotions, particularly in the outback, but we know that they feel all of those things. And over 100 years, this ministry has always had that quality of echoing what the people are. So one of the significant things about this ministry is we've never built a church. And, John Flynn, who came out of the Presbyterian Church, he said, he was the superintendent of our mission for a long time, 40 years or more. And one day they were trying to unseat him, because they thought he was a bit past it, you see. He was a typical visionary. You know, he operated on a scale where he could see over the horizon. He could see a flying doctor over the horizon when there weren't planes to carry such a thing. He could see little clinics that we would set up over the horizon. Anyway, one day this man said to him, look, John, you've been out there for 40 years. How many churches have you built? And he said very simply, he said, how many did Christ build? He said, I wasn't in the business of building churches. He says, I was in the business of being there with the people, walking with the people. And that's the same tradition that we have today. So our ministers are a little bit different. When they go to someone, they've gone a long way to knock on the door. And when they get up there, they'll often be asked to do work, or they'll volunteer to do work, so that the people, the country people, can measure them by their own standards. There's never a case of someone gets out of the car and preaches and then leaves. They go there to be with the people and to draw the stories out of them. And that's the Australian way. And they have to be practical. So when you support us, you really help us go right to the edges. And as you see, that's our symbol there. Now, we recognise the Uniting Church there straight away, but it is significant that the Holy Spirit sits right in the middle of our wonderful country. And it is a wonderful country, but it has its own features. It has very different features. We can compare this to America. This would be about the same size as the United States of America. It's eight-ninths the size of our country compared to America. But if we looked at America, you would have all these towns and all these cities and all these grids of communication, roads, railways, because you had an orderly progression across there. But as we know, we live in this place here down the coast, and this is a vast desert. Sometimes it's marginal country, and when the rain comes, it's very fruitful. But the rest of the time, it's a very large, empty area. And we go, our ministers here they all are, they go to the people who are out there. There's only 4% of them in that area. The rest of us live down here. So my job and your job is we're on the coast here, and we have to support that mission. So I constantly come back and I talk to people and I say, will you remember us? And we send out appeal letters, and people, good intention people, they ring up and they say, oh, you know, don't send us that appeal letter. And we say, look, we send it out as a bulk mail. It would be difficult to pull you out. Just ignore it. Just give us the one that you would rather have. Because it's very important that we keep reintroducing it. And this goes all the way back to the beginning when John Flynn, he wouldn't have a PowerPoint presentation on this. He'd have a wonderful thing called the Magic Lantern. And he was a fabled photographer, John Flynn, and a journalist, and I appreciate that because that's my background in journalism. And he would show and tell, but he constantly had to do that to power the mission. And so today, for instance, I'm very happy to tell you that Frontier News is really the inheritor of two wonderful church publications. There was the Methodist Link, which was about the outdoor mission, the outback mission, and there was the Inlander, which was John Flynn's one, where he was the editor and he was a photographer, famous photographer. So today I'm going to talk to you about the reality of this. You know, what is it to be? It's one thing to say, help us and support us, but I want to actually go inside and I want to show you a story about a young person and how one of our programs really touched them. It's a very profound story because it takes the imagery of the Old Testament and it suddenly makes us think, gosh, Australia is where it's at too. But I'll just flip through. This is a map I showed earlier today, put out by the University of Adelaide. And that beautiful jacaranda colour in there, that's all what we call very remote. And this blue colour here, that's just plain remote. So here up in the Snowy Mountains here, that's very remote. We're up there remote as well. And even in Tasmania, we're in remote as well. So, but we're better known here. And I'm happy to tell you that we've got three Cape York, Tennant Creek, Flinders Patrol, Cunnanulla. They're all in Queensland. So Queensland's very important to us. It goes right back in the mission. And I always say when I come to whatever state or territory I'm at, I always say to the people, think about the mission in your state. You know, think about the fact that you're there supporting your people in Western Queensland and up on the Cape. I said, think about it in terms of your own personal devotion to that particular thing. So this was an image I brought up earlier, and it's the beginning of this story, I'll tell you. It's an incredible image from Broken Hill of a manager on a big property out there. He died very suddenly. His life was cut off. He was in a ultralight aircraft. And he was mustering cattle and it flipped over and he died. And he thought nothing about using this like we would use a car. But it was a great tragedy because everyone in that, what they call the channel area, out there where South Australia and the Territory and New South Wales and Queensland, they all come together. They all knew this guy, this Luke Betts. And he was 33 years old and they all came together in one place where our minister did the funeral service. And this was an amazing image of the jackaroos carrying in their old friend and boss, his coffin. And they laid it down like out here, very reverentially. But it wasn't a church as we know. We had about 1,000 people. It was a very hot day. It was out at the biggest building they could find. The whole people with parking was out at the race course. So they all came out there and it was a beautiful movement. And little photographs up here of his life. And our minister, Reverend John Dim, he officiated at it because he'd known the family and they'd really bonded with him. And again, the relationships that we put in with the people is really what we're on about. As I was telling Glenn earlier, the first question that they'll obviously often ask the minister is, how long are you here for? How long are you here for? You know, 3 to 5 years isn't very long to them. How long are you here for? So here's John. They laid the coffin out on the back of the flatbed truck and then people paid their respects and they laid gum leaves on it. And when I was there, you know, the wake was an amazing thing too. There were all these families around us and I met this lady here, Kathy, and she came from South Australia. And the other program that we have, apart from the patrol ministers, is our volunteer program, Outback Links. Has anyone ever heard of Outback Links? Yeah, wonderful. So what we try to do is match people's skills to the needs. And the story I'm going to tell you now is about Outback Links. And this lady gave it to me. She said, yeah, I know Frontier Services. I said, my husband was sick some years back. And, you know, we were really up against it. We were trying to get everything ready for the shearing season. And we had a half-finished accommodation for the shearers. And my husband was diagnosed as having leukemia. And it just made everything really difficult because we're isolated. And it happened to be your minister, Jenny. She was coming through and she heard this and she said, look, I'll try and get you some volunteers. And she said this wonderful couple came out, David and Samantha Pursehouse. They came out and they did such an amazing thing. And it was a very moving opportunity, but there was a real sadness to it, she said. There was a sadness. She said, I don't want to tell you anymore, but if you follow it, you should look that story up. And as a journalist, that was like a dare to me to find out what the story was. So here they are. They're 23 years old. They come from the Sutherland Shire in Sydney. Here's Davey and here's Samantha. She's well known as Sam. And they had met at school in your youth group, like you're starting here. They were leaders in that youth group in their Uniting Church. And they went overseas on mission and they fell in love, deeply in love. And when they came back from Uganda on mission, they got married around this time, 23 years old. And David was an electrician. And one day he was the guy who would fix the traffic lights when they get knocked over at the intersection. You know, you see the guy up the ladder. And David was up there working. And one day he stepped down and he was a bit unsteady on his feet. And he thought, I wonder what that is. And he went to his doctor and his doctor referred him to another doctor and another doctor and another doctor. And they said, look, I've got some very bad news for you, David. You've got a tumour in the brain. It's treatable, but it can't be cured. And so at 23 years old, he was confronted with his own mortality. I mean, I can relate to this. I'm 57 years old and I've just found out I've got to have bypass surgery. It's a big shock to me too. It's a bit like that quote from St. Matthew. Be ready every day to jump up. Just every day as though it's your last. Anyway, David, of course, looks at his young bride and he thinks, gosh, how can this all be coming back to me at this time in my life? He says, let's do something for ourselves. We've always done stuff for other people. Let's do something for ourselves. Let's hook up the caravan and do a couple of laps around Australia. And here we see them at Uluru. But this is the fascinating thing about Christians, is the formation is real. So David and Samantha, when they go around, they can't just be selfish and do stuff for themselves. They contact Outback Links. And we say, oh yeah, we know somewhere where they would really like an electrician over in South Australia. So they got over there to this same property where the lady's husband was sick. And sure enough, here's Davey. He's working hard. And he's doing all the things that he probably shouldn't do. He's up a ladder, probably shouldn't be up the ladder, but he's feeling really good. He's feeling useful and he's getting away from himself. But you know what? He left a journal, this young man. His wife gave me this journal. And in the journal was his inner journey. And his inner journey was he felt God had rejected him. He was far from God. And not only that, because he was suffering with a disease that was affecting his brain, he was feeling emotions like anger that he really couldn't relate to. And it was as though he were himself in an inner turmoil, what we Christians would call the dark night of the soul. The 3 a.m. wake-up call, as I call it. And I've had a few of them lately too. So David's feeling that and he's writing it down. And they get to this particular station and he finds the manager there is a fellow named Joe, and Joe is also a good Christian. And they sit out at night and they look up at the stars and they talk about the big questions. And for us human beings, whether we're Christian or not, their questions go a little like this. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's a good life? What constitutes a good life? What can we say at the end that we did that made purpose of our life? What did we contribute? And these are all things that are going around inside Davey's head. And he says this fascinating thing. He said as much as he appreciated the older man Joe's care and his patience with him, he still couldn't cure the pain he had inside him. He still couldn't believe that God was there for him. Because he was in so much turmoil. So this is another thing of David. He would be out mustering. Of course, they use bikes as, you know, over horses these days. And the story that I'm going to tell you now is about something that happened when they were out mustering. Here he is with the kids on the property. They love David. I think he's been taken prisoner at this stage. Anyway, this is the hero of the story. Now, we're all instruments of God, okay? God's working through all of us, and we must always be open and be prepared to witness. And we must read signs. And in this particular story, one of these famous working dogs, a black Kelpie, just like that one, was the instrument of Joe, who was the manager of this property. And the dog's name was Cobber. And if you know anything about these dogs, they're fiercely loyal, they're very intelligent, and they work all day. And wherever the man goes, if there's a shadow behind him, it's the dog. And wherever the man points, the dog goes. And it's like having a whole crew who works to you. And so the bond between the man and the dog is very profound. Very profound. And we would call that man in the property where they are, where there were lots and lots of sheep, we would call that person a shepherd. That's exactly what he is. He's a shepherd. So anyway, one day, you can imagine the bond between these two. One day they come in from the paddock, David, the younger fella, and Joe, the manager, and Joe looks around for his dog, and the dog's not there. And it's a very hot day, 45 degrees in South Australia, and the sun goes down and the dog never shows up. And the two men start to get very concerned about the fact the dog didn't come in. And Joe doesn't live on the property. He leaves. And David says, look, I'll ring you up when she comes in. And he goes out and he calls around. Dog doesn't come. So dog's gone on Friday. Dog's gone on Saturday. Dog's gone on Sunday. Dog's gone. Man came back on the Sunday night. The two of them drove around in the paddocks in the dark, calling, whistling, listening. Still no dog. Now, this is where David becomes really fascinating, because David is so looking for the sign, he actually calls out to God and he says, look, don't worry about me and what I go through. I need to know you're there in my life, but I need a sign, I need a little miracle. I need you to please bring that dog back to my friend. Not for me, for my friend. And he starts to pray on it really hard. And a very interesting thing happens. The weekend goes by. The dog's been missing for 3 days. It's Monday now. And a funny thing happens. The men get in the room for the Monday morning muster. And the owner, his name's Rob. But he was a fellow who had leukemia. And the interesting thing about sickness is it doesn't necessarily change your character. And he comes in a big rush with steam coming out of his ears, Rob. And he says, you fellas, I told you to get all of those sheep out of that paddock last week. And I just went past it. There's a mob, about 200 there. The shearers are over there. Get out there and bring them in. And the two blokes look at each other and they think, we did all of that. It's done. And this is the point when they go out there, and this is an interesting thing too. This is a little like the good shepherd. We've got the narrow gate there and the big paddock. And we've got the good shepherds right here. And I tell you, that gate was locked. But the men at this very moment are looking along and they say, yep, there's 200 sheep in there. We have no idea how they got in. And they go inside there. And Joe on the left says to David on the right, he says, Dave, they must have got in somehow, ride the boundary and find out where they got in. So he does. And he rides along these fences, which go for a long way. No break. Blazing hot now. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, he looks down the line of the fence and he sees a shadow underneath the fence. And he stops the motorbike and he looks at it and he thinks, could it be? And he whistles and calls out the dog's name, Cobber. And the little shadow sits up and the ears go up. And he drives down to it. And he can't believe it, because as he gets down there, he realises that the dog's collar has been clipped on the bottom wire of the fence. And David in his journal describes how wave of awe of how powerful and how good was his God came over him. And as he's going back with the dog running ahead to find its owner, he said, you know, it wasn't a big miracle. It wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't the parting of the Red Sea. But it was a big enough miracle for this one man. For this one man. And it was enough for me to take into the rest of my life. Which is what David did. Because after that, David's health did decline and he passed away in the love of his community, and he went to heaven with God. And it was a very, very moving experience. But it was this one thing that took him there. And I tell you this now because we in a 1 year would have about 10,000 to 20,000 meaningful contacts with people through our ministry. But never underestimate the power of God in your life, because when I find these stories and I drill down into them, they're amazing stories about self-awareness and about growth and about formation and about faith. So when I show people, this is David's widow, Samantha. She's part of our Outback Links program now as an ambassador. And here she is working out there with a little GoPro camera on a hat, which we made a little film of. This was a trip to Lightning Ridge. And, you know, next year we're going to do a trip to Longreach. And it's a very similar idea to what we do. This is another issue that we deal with all the time in church. You know, you don't have to deal with it here because you've got plenty of young people. But this is Jeff Bond, who lives up in Port Macquarie, who's one of our great volunteers. And here's Samantha.
Jeff Bond just here, mate.
You got another Jeff Bond? Okay. This is your namesake, Jeff, who lives in Port Macquarie, and this is Sam. But what we want to do is we want to have a succession plan. We want to have the younger people come through. Because Jeff, as good as he is, keeps going to the Outback and he's not getting any younger. And we want to show people, the younger people in church, that the mission's right here. And so that's why Samantha's so important to us. So just to very quickly tell you, this is something that we're going to bring to Queensland next year, when we go out to Longreach. But one of the things that we've been doing is, traditionally we send out couples or individuals and they go and do placements. But we realised that the need was bigger than that. That when you're in a drought for a few years, there's no disposable income and your state of mind starts to go bad. You start to think about all the things that you can't do anymore. And you start to destock and you start to feel grim about things. So what we thought was, one of the most difficult things to get in the Outback is to get tradespeople to come out to your place, particularly when you don't have any money to pay for it. So this is an overview of a project that we did to Lightning Ridge. We've done it 3 times now. We've trialled it. It works. We organise all the logistics. We bring along builders and carpenters and plumbers. We went to 4 farms. We fixed tractors. We did painting. We fixed buildings. Our people experienced remote Australia. The farmers realised that people outside their own community understood what they were going through. We built professional and personal skills. And again, you can see a little drought map up there. Queensland's very heavily featured in. And that red area means that they're in their 3rd year of drought. So the country looks like this. And this is actually, we coordinated this with BioBale, so that we had a feed drop at the same time. But you can see how poor the country is. It's all got the animals all have to be hand-fed. And so what difference will it make? Well, teamwork motivates apprentices and it builds life and professional skills. So that's us making partnerships with trade groups and union groups and other employer groups, like in New South Wales, the NRMA. Now, the NRMA are fantastic. You've got the equivalent here with Queensland. We were taking mechanics out to these farms, and they would find lots of work to do out there too, because where the equipment broke down, it couldn't be started again because you couldn't get anyone out there and you didn't have any money to pay for them. So we got all this fantastic feedback, and we're going to do more of these. Why Frontier Services? Well, because we're so well known in the Outback. We've been running this volunteers program, Outback Links, for more than 10 years. Originally, we were in Charleville, and now we've pulled back to Sydney, but it's still a national program. And we provided volunteer services of the farm rescue trip there. So we took 30 tradespeople to 30 farms in the Lightning Ridge District in partnership with BioBale and NRMA. So this is the sort of thing we're going to do up here. So this is what I often take to congregations where you can break it down. People love projects. They want to know what the hire vehicle is. So I'll hold you to that $2,000 and I'll say, there's the $2,000 fuel there and water and food. And so we come up with these lists and see sunscreen. You know, if someone wanted to help us in a practical way, there's an item there as well, that the small item for sunscreen. It's so essential. And this is an interesting image. This is an image Lightning Ridge. And I'd like you to consider this. That's an image of absolute happiness because that tractor there has been broken down, not working for 2.5 years. And, you know, the man who owns it on his property, he has to walk around it every day and think, what a loser am I? I can't even get my own tractor working. And we don't want to play into that headspace of his. We want to say, yeah, we come along, we come to fix it. We come to fix the tractor, and there he is going over the horizon, and that's a picture of happiness. So that's the sort of practical work that we do. So I'm getting my wind-up signal from Glenn over here. I'll just leave you with a little joke. There's BioBale, our partner. So when I went out to Broken Hill for this funeral, there was very many people there, little kids, and you know what the children are like. They make noise and they cry. And the mother gave the little boy over to the grandmother, and she came over. She just happened to be going where I was standing with the camera. And then the baby and I started to look at each other. And the people back in the office, they said, oh, that, you would have looked like that baby, Dan, when you were a kid. You know, you've got the brown head and the blue eyes. And the baby and I were looking at each other, and I thought, well, you know, I'll cheer up the baby. And I did that thing. I can't do it now because I'm so dry. I went, anyway, it all worked out fine in the end. So thank you very much for your time. God love you. And thank you so much for your support for Frontier Services.
What a great story. The question always comes when you hear something like this, and next week as well, what the heck do we do? We live in the city. We're almost in a city here, aren't we? How can we make a difference? The first thing is you made a difference last night. The second thing is this, how you pray. And then consider whether it's through Frontier Services or somebody else that's helping other people beyond here as well. How is it that we can either help financially, prayerfully, or even offering our time and our energies? So the question I want you just to talk with the people beside you with now, really quickly, is in what ways do I serve beyond this congregation? In what ways do I serve beyond this congregation? Can you just quickly talk to the person beside you about that now, please? All right. We're going to gather those together in prayer now. So let's just gather those together in prayer. God, we don't know exactly where you are going to intersect or interact with others. We don't know exactly what our role always is in that. But we do know that you call us to be present. And so, Lord, wherever we are present beyond this congregation, wherever it is that we are serving and connecting with people, wherever that might be, would you help us, Lord, to be your avenue to quench people's thirst? Lord, we pray for these people that we've just been talking about, these environments that we've been talking about. And we would ask that whether they be near or far, whether that be people we know well or people we're just getting to know, that you would help us to know how to give time or encouragement, our prayer life or our finances or whatever else those others might need. And we ask that you give us the courage to do this for your sake, for their sake, and the sake of your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are going to close our worship service now. Our worship hasn't finished as such. Our worship continues as we go and we share our morning tea together. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship, power and the presence of the Holy Spirit remain with you all both now and always. Amen. Let's have morning tea together.